And it is 6 o'clock. That means it's time for the meeting of the air with Globe Mayor Al Gameros. How are you, Al?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, I've been better.
I heard you had some difficulties at the beginning of the broadcast.
Well, the best laid plans. We created a system where if one computer was down, the next one would take it. If that was down, the transmitter computer would take it. Well, the bottom line is when I shut everything down, everything started to roll over and work, and I couldn't get the live meeting on the air.
Oh,
but
wow.
Now we're here together. It's on the air, and it is streaming as well.
Wow, there you go. Well, I'll go over my April report for this that I turned in. That was in the paper last week. It's on social media, too. Just talking a little bit about the Washington, D.C. trip on March 25th to the 27th. Myself, along with Vice Mayor Mike Stapleton, Councilman Freddie Rios, our Assistant Manager, City Manager Paul Jepson, and Assistant City Manager Linda Ottonetto, and our City Manager Paul Jepson made the trip to Washington to meet with our delegates. The meetings included meetings with the Army Corps of Engineers, the Federal Railroad Administration, Senator Mark Kelly, Senator Ruben Gallego, Congressman Eli Crane, Congressman Greg Statton, and Congressman Andy Biggs. In all these meetings that we held with them are discussions for funding for various projects. And the main project that we were seeking funding for this year was McCormick Wash, obviously, that we need to resolve in the near future. A railroad hub, possible railroad hub in Globe, a new fire station, new ladder truck, new police vehicles, and really the forest health and mining is what we're after funding to better our community. And again, all these meetings were coordinated by our Washington lobbyist, Bob Holmes, which made it nice, you know. So it was a busy day. We flew in the 25th in the evening, and all day the next day was meetings starting at 8 in the morning. We didn't stop till 6 in the evening, and then we flew out the next morning.
That's great. Now, McCormick Wash, for people who don't know, where exactly is it?
Yeah, McCormick Wash sets above, up there by, above Mesquite, where Mesquite and Bailey come together at the top by the school.
Uh-huh.
And there's a tunnel that was built to divert water into out towards the Copper Hills area.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the 40s, there was a early 1940s, 30s, there was a dam that was built when Old Dominion Mining was there. And that held the water then. But it is not sufficient enough to divert. So we had, they did a tunnel diverting the water out there. And what we've seen in the last couple of years, or even up to a decade, is that we've seen some deterioration of the entrance of this tunnel, and we have deterioration as it goes through in the interior. It's about 300 or 400 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a very expensive project. We did get funding to do the study to see how we would actually address it. And the Army Corps of Engineers is very interested in this project. We're looking probably $10-12 million in order to resolve it.
Whoa.
So it's a big amount. We can get a lot of the funding, but we're still going to have to put some money out as far as the City of Globe. But it's very important. If this were to fail, we had a major rain, it could flood the downtown area.
Okay, so that's what we're protecting, is
yes,
downtown Globe, which is huge.
You bet, yeah. That's what will be the effect in if this were to fail and all the water diverted to the downtown
mm-hmm.
area. So this is something we've been working on for several years. And we're going to continue to work on it every year until we can come up with a plan and funding in order to do it, because it's going to be vital for the future.
You betcha.
We had a presentation about the FireWise program by our Fire Chief Gary Robinson, and this was on the implementation of a FireWise program in our community. You know, with almost our entire state in extreme drought condition, it's important that we look at ways to decrease our wildfire risk, especially in our Globe Miami community. And through this program, neighborhoods within can become a FireWise area, and they can initiate this program by organizing a committee of volunteers. And this has to be within their neighborhood. And this will be along with partnerships with the Globe Fire Department and the Department of Forestry. And this isn't just limited to the city of Globe. This could happen in the town of Miami. This could happen in the county area. But it has to be initiated by the neighborhood so they can get that designation. And the steps for that is to become FireWise is to organize, again, some volunteers, create a plan, and then implement the plan. And that comes with evaluation with assistance from the fire department. And for more information on this program, you can contact Chief Gary Robinson of the Globe Fire Department at 928-200-5156. Again, there's some neighborhoods in Globe that are worse than other neighborhoods that need more attention as far as mitigation of the hazards within their neighborhood. You know, in our neighborhood, I live in the Pioneer Hills area. We have some areas closer down to the bottom area where it meets the wash down there. So those are areas we'd be concerned with if we were to organize in our neighborhood.
Now, it's interesting. Two things. We're talking about this on red flag warning days today and tomorrow, especially with high winds and dry air. But the other thing is if you're kind of sitting on your hands thinking, well, maybe we don't need to do this, APS, in their infinite lack of wisdom, has already announced that they will, in fact, shut off the power. Now, we could go on forever about what they could do other than that, but they haven't and they didn't and they can and they might. So absolutely, you want to avoid that. And hopefully, if your neighborhood is FireWise and you get that done, you'll at least have a leg to stand on in fighting that shutoff.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's going to help really with a shutoff, but it'll help. What we're concerned about, if we don't get ourselves in some kind of FireWise designation, you know, we're seeing it in Prescott. I think I talked about it last month, that they're canceling insurance policies.
Sure.
You know, got houses that are built in the trees around them at the top of a hill, no mitigation, and these people are losing their insurance policy.
So, I can see it.
And it's kind of scary because, again, it's going to affect development of new homes. It's going to affect economic development. What we need to do is we're fighting the legislature, making sure that we need to bring the insurance companies to the table and make sure that we are protected also. You know, and I understand APS's plan is to move forward. They're worried about liability and lawsuits and everything.
Of course they are.
But again, it has to be a partnership. And that's where I'll lead into next, as we heard the presentation from the director of forestry on this fire mitigation program. And it was Scott Bordenkircher, and he's with APS on. And again, the program you're talking about is called PSPS. And it stands for Public Safety Power Shutoff. APS is the largest electric utility company in Arizona with 6,000 transmission miles and 32,000 distribution miles. 19% of their system is considered to be high fire risk. And these areas include the Globe Miami community. So APS right now has initiated several practices within their system, again, to help with fire mitigation. And these include like vegetation management, and that's around the lines and their poles that are more hazardous. Grid hardening investments, that has something to do with the poles and making them a little more resistant to fire. They've started assessment inspections of their lines, their entire system. They have hired teams of meteorologists that are on staff to predict and look at weather in the future. And they've also installed cameras at different locations in weather stations in order to detect smoke early on. And these go into areas, you know, if they see smoke, they can dispatch, fire can be dispatched to hopefully initiate some stoppage of this whatever fire so it doesn't escalate into something worse. So, you know, PSPS is another tool that they can implement. And these have to be extremely high conditions. And these conditions include high winds. I mean, today we're seeing where we are in extreme today, but I think winds are, what, about 30, 40 miles an hour?
Mm-hmm.
I would think winds would have to exceed 80 to 100 miles an hour.
Okay.
I don't know if we've ever seen that, but we saw those in California that were 80 to 100 miles an hour. And that type of wind is going to carry fire very quickly. The other condition, which remained in, is dry conditions, extreme heat. I don't know what the temperature would have to be, but we look at that, and we look at relative humidity, too, as to what it is if it's in single digit. So if all these conditions line up, this program will be initiated in our community. We've had two presentations or two meetings preparing for this. APS is supposed to have a town hall with the community to answer their questions directly, too. But again, this could mean that the power could be shut up for up to 24 to 48 hours in certain areas until these conditions are decreased. And ABS is assured that prior to the PSPS event, the public would be given a four-day notice. So their meteorologists will predict it 4 days in advance in order to, for us to prepare. And these communication, it'll take place via text message, email, phone calls, or cell phone. And so it's important, and they have an online, and I have that information here, that all residents are encouraged to create an account online by visiting aps.com/login. That's where you put your, submit your information. Once you're on their login sheet, any type of shutdown of anything will be communicated directly through those, through that information. And if you already have an account, they want you to sign up anyway and make sure that the information is up to date with your email and cell phone number. There's also a contact number that you can call. It's APS Customer Experience Center, and that's 1-800-253-9405. And then for any regular updates and outage maps, because now they are starting to release the outage maps, because what they'll do is they'll shut the feeder lines to our community, but it won't affect our whole community. It won't affect all neighborhoods. There are certain areas that could have power, but if you look at it, I think Walmart would still have power, Fry's would have power, but then you go west towards Miami, it just appears that the whole town would be in blackout. Now, there are sporadic areas in Globe that would be on. But again, you can go, for any updates on this map, you go to aps.com/outages. So this is vital information, really, to have with you, to get online, talk to somebody at that experience center, make sure you're aware, you're on their list, and they have the right information. And I'm on the list, and I know when we had the power outage here, the other day that went out for a couple hours, I always get notices on my text message. We understand, they even give my address at six. We understand you have no power at 6:30 Mingus Circle, and then they give me updates on there.
Right.
So it's important that everybody truly is able to get their information on. Now again, we're all working together actively on an emergency plan. We're in cooperation with the County Emergency Services. So they also have a program which is even more enhanced, that they're able to contact people through there also. So they'll be using that system too. So if by some reason you're not on the APS contact line, then you may be on the county one. And we got that through COVID and through some, when the telegraph fire went through, that we had some contact through there.
Mm-hmm.
But we are working on an emergency plan. And really the key is we need to identify our target areas. Patients on oxygen, disabled, the elderly, you know, other high-risk areas that we need to consider. Because, like I said, if it's out 24 to 48 hours, obviously it's going to be hot. So we need to consider, you know, these target individuals, you know, especially our elderly, that we take care of them, we know where they're at, and we make contact with them during this
what
process.
What happens? You know, that's a real good thing that I hadn't really thought about. But let's say you get the notice that in 24 hours your power's going out and you do have electric medical devices and you don't have a backup. What do you do?
That's where, well, I know I have a neighbor and they have what they call a concentrator that's plugged in. I guess if you get a notice that you should have availability of oxygen, bottles to be able to utilize and for that'll last up to 48 hours.
But it may not be oxygen that you're on. There's a lot of different medical devices that absolutely are electric dependent.
Exactly. And these are the things that our team is identifying. right now to make sure that we know how to mitigate them. You know, we may be talking about cooling centers, you know, for a short period of time. You know, backup generators. Obviously, all the emergency, like the hospital, the police, the fire, different areas, the nursing homes, they all have backup generators in order to continue to operate. But it's those individuals that have those needs within their own residence that we need to identify to make sure that there's some kind of backup system for them that we're checking up on them.
Right, that they're not finding out at the last minute. But, like, we, too, have generators everywhere.
Yes, but you bet.
You know, which is great. But many people don't, and especially people who are impaired medically, this is going to be almost insurmountable if they don't have a plan in advance.
Exactly. And you know, we've gone through these. We've developed emergency plans. I know through the city, Globe, through the fire department, we did it in the past to identify these. You know, we open up a call center to make sure that we have that we're all in the same room. You know, county, town of Miami, city of Globe.
Sure.
Everybody's in the same room, and we understand we have large maps that will identify these areas. We got to go out, and we got to make sure that we get to these individuals. The thing is, in the legislature, APS was trying to decrease the liability to themselves.
That's exactly what this
It didn't go through. It didn't get all their liability, and I can understand that because, you know, there has to be some part. There has to be a partnership. It can't just be all this expense be put back on the cities and the towns that it affects.
Well, and the other thing, of course, they've been very vocal in the past about being proud of being an overhead company.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not in high fire areas, especially to, you know, and I'm not talking about the main lines coming in, but in general, you know, the state of their installation shouldn't be borne by the taxpayer.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the burden also falls on the Corporation Commission. Because they're the ones that govern them, and they have to approve these plans.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a scary situation. I hope it never happens. Everything has to line up perfectly in order for it to happen. But if it does, that I can assure that we will be as prepared as we can be as a community, as a city, to address the situation.
That's really all we can do. But
exactly.
Yes, I thought it was highly offensive that it would be sold as protection for us. No, it is protection for them.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. You know, it's when you got attorneys and there's lawsuits and everything, they're afraid of, you know, bankruptcy and going out of business. So, but yeah, no, it is. It's a partnership responsibility now if that does happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's any questions on those. Anything else on you should have received a postcard. There should be postcards that are out in the mail. I don't know if you received one here. I received one, I know, in the mail. It's a blue large postcard. It gives all the information that I just gave out, you know, because we were concerned that they were going to send information on your monthly bill.
Oh, yeah.
And how many people open their monthly bill if they're paying online? They don't even open them. I don't open mine.
Right.
You know, you just throw it away. But this is more, you know, we wanted to ensure that it was separate from your bill.
Right.
And it was a postcard type that people will look at and pay attention to.
And, you know, we didn't. I did get a couple of notices from them in mail, postcard type notices, of what poles they were going to trim around on properties that we had. But, you know, not saying they didn't mail it, just saying that one we haven't seen.
Yeah, that should be a most recent one. I just received it also, you know, with all the information. So make sure that we want to make sure, and we're going to continue to push that and make sure that they communicate with the public.
Right.
You know, they've communicated with us as stakeholders for us to prepare, but the community really wants to know, the public wants to know.
Well, that's right, and they don't want to be lied to either. Don't keep telling us this is for our benefit. It is, in fact, for APS's benefit.
Yeah, you bet. On the April 11th and 12th, the City of Globe sponsored a spring clean event. I just want to give some numbers. This event included sprucing up our downtown Broad Street, and we planted flowers, we painted curves and handrails. We cleaned the Pasco stairs and some of the stairways that go along that walk, and we also swept sidewalks.
Great.
And it also included free dumpster day with a total collection of 68.62 tons of trash, along with 217 tires. So in 3 days, that's the amount of trash that was collected.
217 tires?
217 tires.
All right.
And 68, about 68 and a half tons of trash was collected.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, wow.
So, you know, it's a great event. This is an opportunity for people to clean some of their junk out, I guess, or whatever, around their homes, especially if you want to, especially with the high temperatures and the fire conditions the way they are.
Well, right, because you're doing a disservice to yourself if your own property is what's going to be, you know, fire fertilizer.
You bet. We want to extend a heartfelt thank you to all the volunteers that participate. And it was a two-day event. The dumpsters were 3-day, but 2-day event for volunteers to help and clean up in the downtown. And the total number of volunteers we recorded for the 2 days was 87 people came out, which is amazing. We had a lot of small kids. I know I was on the South Broad by the train depot. We were painting sidewalks, and there was some young kids we were taping off, and they were painting the red on the sidewalks, cleaning weeds and planting flowers all down there. It was great with the kids and their parents. And I'll announce my next Coffee with the Mayor.
Yeah, where will it be?
It's going to be at the same place, okay. Copper City's Coffee, and that is scheduled for May 21st. At 1 p.m.
Great.
And again, it was a little bigger this time. It was great. We were able to share more information. Sometimes it's the same information. Sometimes people coming with different questions.
Sure.
But we try and share as much as we can. It's been myself and my vice mayor, Mike Stapleton, have attended. And so I think it's a great opportunity for people to come out and really get the true facts. If we can't get them, like I say, if we don't have the answers, there's some that we write down and we go back and we follow up some of the things
people
are concerned about and then get back with them. So that is about the extent of my report for April.
All right.
I don't know. I know we never get any phone calls.
Yeah,
but
well, again, 888-876-5593. And if for whatever reason you are hesitant to talk on the radio, and don't be, it's just you and I and the mayor, but trust me. But show up at Copper City's Coffee May 21st at 1 p.m.
You bet. And if any time, again, I leave my number out there all the time. If anybody ever has any questions or concerns, you know, obviously I can't sway if there's a fire code violation, a building code.
Right.
But if there's some information that's not, doesn't seem like it's right out there that people are putting out there, please call me and I'll give you two numbers. My number is 928-200-2626, or they can call me at 928-701-7268. Either one of those numbers, they can contact me, and I will get back with them if I don't answer right away.
Okay, great. And I think at least one of those numbers, I'll make sure both of them are on your page on kqss.net.
You
and
bet.
There's a link right on the home page. This will be captured and will be downloadable in perpetuity if you missed it or want to hear it again.
You bet, yeah. And the 200 number is a Verizon number, and the reason now I have two phones is the Verizon number I've had a lot of issues with, dropping calls.
Really?
So my other number is an AT&T phone and a phone number, and I haven't had no issues with it.
You know, it's so odd. Some people will say it in reverse, where they say, I can't get AT&T. It depends what block you're on,
I suspect. So.
But having a couple of choices is always nice.
You bet.
We will see you next month at this time.
You got it.
All right, Al, thanks for coming.
Okay.
All right, so that's it for the community meetings. And again, they will be downloadable at kqss.net well before the week is out for sure. And also, they'll be replayed Sunday morning on KJAA. So that's kjaa.us online, or if you AM 1240 or FM 106.1. So either way, you will hear it and of course hear it again.